And Chris, this is a special episode of the Lemonade Show. Look at me, I can't even talk. But I'm being rude. For those of you that are joining me for the very first time, my name is Stephanie Williams, but you might know me as Steph I Will on Twitter. And if you haven't already, please either follow me or definitely please follow the podcast at The Lemonade Show. That's at Lemonade Show on Twitter. So before I get to rambling a little bit, I want to say this before I begin, and that is that last week I launched my Patreon for the Lemonade Podcast after much debate because I hope that this doesn't sound prideful, and look, I kind of apologize if it does, but you know, I have trouble asking people for money. But after encouragement from a lot of you folks on Twitter, I went ahead and launched a Patreon. And at first I was just thinking, like, what the hell would I even offer folks for supporting the podcast? Like, what extra perks can I give? And a few people made some great suggestions, and I really appreciate them because it got me thinking outside the box. So actually, as I'm recording this to splice into my very special episode today, I reached my monthly goal, and the monthly goal was $60 a month for me to start, I guess, like a little separate podcast, still the Lemonade Show, but these would be episodes that were special for me to review different comic series that are my favorite or ones that have been suggested to me by others and just kind of break them down and talk about them. Pretty much, I've been inspired by Ed Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro. Like, you guys don't even understand. Like, I researched for a living, and I didn't quite dawn on me that I would really love doing this outside of work, and I do. And it's me marrying my love for research with my love for comics. So thank you all so much that jumped on it as soon as I launched the Lemonade Patreon. That really touched me. Like, you don't even know or understand. It means a lot. It really does. Because I'm somebody who unfortunately sometimes downplays myself. Like, I don't want to, like, when I started podcasting, this was never because, ooh, I wanted to make money off of this. No, this was just another way of me expressing myself other than just writing, because something about talking is just different from writing. One, it's talking. And then two, for me, it's I feel like I'm able to better express myself on certain things by talking versus writing. Like, you can hear my voice, my pitch, my tone. And I think, as I've told some folks, like, you know, I'm somebody who works really great when it comes to kind of freestyling. I am the gin of podcasting at times, because my best things personally, I feel, come from when I'm just talking straight from the heart versus something that I've already, you know, written down. So I just want to say thank you. I can't say it enough. I really hope that you guys stick around and continue to, you know, contribute to the Patreon, and also that I get more people, because this really helps a ton. Podcasting is not cheap. This helps with hosting fees. I fell in love with Zencastr thanks to Jamie, and that cost. So to get better equipment, just to make things better so that I can give you guys my best, because, you know, I would expect the same things. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you a million times over. So before I go ahead and let you guys listen to this very special episode of The Lemonade Show, I guess a few things happened that I didn't get a chance to talk about at the recording, at the time of the recording of what you guys are going to listen to. So the trailer for Iron Fist or Coachella Fist or Ion Fist or all of the myriad of names that we've given this man other than his actual name released earlier this week. And yeah, it was hilarious to me. If you actually are a patron, you got a chance to listen to myself and Lauren from Nerds of Prey podcast kind of do our little own special commentary on the Iron Fist trailer. And it's just, look, I've been trying to hold back on kind of joking on Iron Fist lately, just because, yeah, like y'all are getting these jokes for free, which is fine and cool, and I'm all for that. I love to make people laugh, but when I've heard that other people might be paying attention and not doing anything about it, as far as like saying, hey, would you like to view Iron Fist, the first couple of episodes, and so on and so forth, and just kind of gold mining or mining the material, that I wasn't necessarily a fan of that. So I was like, okay, well, let me reserve some of that and save it for another time. And that'll be news that I'll release later. But I do have something coming down the pipeline in regards to Iron Fist. Like, the jokes will never stop. They'll be there, and I have something up my sleeve for you guys, so I really hope, I do think it's something that you're going to enjoy deeply. I really honestly do. But Colleen looked bad as hell. Like, she looked like a badass, and I'm really mainly watching, because I am watching this series, but I'm watching it for the support of Louis Tan and also Jessica Henwick, who is Colleen Wing. I am. Because let me state this, like, they're jokes. And I know that, like, there's been conversations lately on Twitter, what happened with George Lopez and just saying just jokes, like, that's dealing with anti-blackness. No, these are jokes about a character who looks very dry and out of place, which I know you guys have told me a million times that that is the whole point, that he should be out of place. But I guess my whole thing, and I'm really tired of talking about this, is that Marvel really did missed the mark by not casting an Asian American actor for this role, because one, you get to right some of the wrongs from, the comic itself. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have read Iron Fist before, but definitely those issues from the 70s, they're a little questionable. And I'm one reason why I'm familiar with them is because of Misty Knight's uninformed afro and researching Misty Knight, because she has a connection with him and she's been in a lot of the older issues with him. So that's something that could have been kind of course corrected as far as canon is concerned, and it would have been a fresh new take. Fresh new take brings new viewers, brings new fans. And I noticed that they're doing another Iron Fist comic, which in the likeness of the guy looks like Finn Jones, and like that could have been an Asian American character. And then look at the demographic that you've gotten interested in Iron Fist. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, this could have really been something more than what it is. But that's over, that's done. Marvel did what they did, and that's just what it is. But I need y'all to understand, like, I don't want this show to do horrible. I don't want it to fail, because there are people who have worked and put their all into this production. They have. It's given people jobs, it's given people opportunities. Like, I just mentioned Jessica Henwick and also Louis Tan. So, and I'm really hoping that this, puts them into another stratosphere that they're not in right now, as far as acting is concerned, and they get more work because of this. And also, we get some more Claire. Like, who couldn't want more of Rosario Dawson? So, let me just say that. And it's just amazing to me, because the only people that I've really seen just really going to bat for Finn Jones as Danny Rand are men. And I'm just like, okay, that's cool, but your women viewers are just as important. And then maybe I've seen maybe one or two women kind of going hard in the paint for him, but no, not really. And I don't remember seeing this. And if you have the receipts, please let me know. But after that trailer dropped, Iron Fist didn't trend. Like, I know some other stuff going on, and white mediocrity, meaning Betsy DeVos was confirmed as education secretary, and that kind of stole his win. That was a day of white mediocrity, wasn't it? But probably kind of stole his thunder. But no, he did not really trend. And actually, that Twitter page hasn't really been all that active compared to the other ones. So, it's kind of interesting. But yeah, so Iron Fist debuts. I believe it's on March 11th or 13th, whatever day is St. Patrick's Day, which is hilarious to me. Just given what just happened with Doctor Strange and the Celtic one and all of that. So, so yeah. So that's pretty much what I kind of just wanted to say about Iron Fist. Also, I don't know why I don't talk about music much more, but I really need to, because if you listen to the internet and you enjoy them, of course you enjoy Sid the Kid, and her solo album, Finn, is available, and it is so freaking good. So good. It's just good. So you need to listen to it. I mean, Drowning It had me rethinking some things for maybe a microsecond, but I did rethink some things about life. And if you listen to Drowning It, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So yeah, if you haven't checked out Sid's new album, check it out. Big Sean, I actually listened to that too. I like Big Sean. So his new album and what is it? Fall Back, I think that's the name of the song, but Eminem is on there. And I should have been not driving when I listened to his verse, because he sound very upset and it got me upset. And I mean, it's just Eminem spitting in that verse. So yeah, if you haven't checked those two albums out, the Super Bowl happened last Sunday, didn't it? And unfortunately, Atlanta did not pull through, and I needed them to, because it was like election night all over again. Like, I've never really been a Patriots fan. I definitely wasn't a Patriots fan anymore. I have to learn that that is Donald Trump's team. Gross. And Tom Brady with the Make America Great Again cap in his locker room. So it's just like, yeah, no thank you. But Atlanta didn't pull through. So we needed that. The pettiness, it was needed, but that didn't happen. But some trailers did happen. The commercials, period, that night. A lot of them were really coming for Trump and his administration and just all of those that support him. And there was a trailer for, what was it? Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, I got more Baby Groot, so I was happy about that. That was really all I needed. So thank you for that. We also got a trailer for Transformers, which, I mean, I'm going to see it because one is Transformers, two, it comes out in the summertime, and my movie taste goes down several notches during the summertime because I'm just trying to go see something in some air conditioning. I'm just trying to be aware of the air conditioning is. And luckily where I live, matinee prices are still $5. It's like $5.25 now, but if you go to the movies before 4 o'clock, so I'm willing to spend that on a movie full of explosions. So I'll be seeing it. And also Fast 8. I mean, I was already seeing it, but I'm definitely going to see it now because it's a freaking submarine. Like, it's a submarine. what the fuck? Like, a submarine. So I'm definitely there to see it. And in this week of what the hell are they boycotting now, I guess some Trump supporters are upset. They were upset with Nordstrom's. I don't know how you can be upset with a company that you don't shop at anyway, because they pulled the Ivanka line. Like, don't worry about it. Y'all can still get that at TJ Maxx, I'm sure. No shade to TJ Maxx, because I'm there all the time. But I'm like, you can get it there. It'll be marked down. You can afford it then. Also, they were, I think they're still upset with Starbucks, but I'm pretty sure they're probably the reason why you're still in line right now, because they're in front of you. So I don't know how that's going. After the Super Bowl, they wanted to boycott Budweiser, which they couldn't spell. They spelled it Budweiser. How are you boycotting something that you can't spell? Also, what the hell else are you going to buy? Can you afford anything else? So that's interesting. And then those same people that bought you that hashtag also brought you boycott Netflix, because the trailer or whatever for Dear White People premiered, and I got white people all in the tizzy because white genocide. You can't even say that without laughing. White genocide. So because of white genocide, they're now boycotting Netflix. But I'm just like, yeah, good luck with that, because, you know, what else are you going to watch? Like, how else will you watch your Jeff Dunham and Larry the Cable Guy and Adam Sandler? And how else would you watch them? You got to watch them there. So, like everything else, I'm pretty sure that will not go well. So, yeah, I think that is all the things that I kind of wanted to touch on. DC probably did something, but who knows, who remembers, because they're always doing something. I think there's something came out that Justice League is supposed to be like Emperor Strikes Back, and just like, oh, all right, well, whatever you say, girl. And also Marvel did like a little something, I guess, I don't know, like there's Infinity War just started shooting, so they did like a little 3-minute video where Kevin Feige just kept, you know, just sat there and said, well, this is what I have, this is what we're doing, and I know you guys are going to look forward to it. And that was pretty much it. And while I really did enjoy it, I got some really funny pictures out of Thanos from that, because he looks like Debo. He looks like the Debo of the Marvel Universe and the Avengers are Craig. I've said that on Twitter, and that's what he looks like. Like, he looks like he, his throne is made out of stitched together Crown Royal bags. He looks like somebody who is smoking Galactic Newports, as someone said, which had me laughing for a good solid 5 minutes. And, you know, he looks like Grimace, fresh off of P90X and some vitamins. So that is really interesting, but whatever, I'll be seeing it. But I could not help, but while watching it, I'm just like, great, more white guys. Well, the same white guys. So, I mean, as the more things change, the more they stay the same. So, I mean, I know we got Black Panther coming to look forward to, but I'm really going to need Marvel to jazz it up. And by jazz it up, I mean use some of the seasoning that is available in that cabinet. So hopefully they'll do that soon. And I mean, as tired, as weary, I'm just tired of waiting. I had to wait 8 years to get invited to the Marvel table, as far as like the Marvel Cinematic Universe is concerned, with Misty Knight coming on to Luke Cage and being so well developed and fleshed out and all of that. Just really all of the Black women that were in that show. But, you know, so we'll see. Maybe we'll get some Monica Rambeau in the upcoming Captain Marvel movie. I really hope so. I really do. It would be amazing. Like, if that's supposed to set up the Ultimates or whatever, like, you know, just slide some Monica in there, please. That's all I'm asking. So we shall see. All right, guys. Well, I believe that is it for, you know, just a little bit of the lemonade that I wanted to kind of serve up a little bit before we get into this bigger picture, which is I interviewed and I spoke to Yuri from Them Damn Comic Book Guys. And we talked about the con that she has put together, the Flight of the Phoenix. It's a sci-fi and comic con that is happening in Austin, Texas, during the same time as South by Southwest. So we talk about that. I do want to apologize a little bit because there was a little bit of an audio issue. I'm not sure what happened, but it's not too horrible that, you know, you're going to hopefully you don't hate me after you listen to it, but it's not bad. So I just wanted to just give that professional pre-warning, you know, before you listen and you take a listen. And if you're in Austin, I really do hope that you check them out and what they're doing. It's exciting. It's giving back to the community. And that is something that is just so needed, especially in a time like this when we got a Cheetorian dictatorship. So yeah, let me stop. Let me shut up. Go ahead and let y'all listen to this special part of the lemonade. And if you haven't already, I am on Audio Boom now. The Lemonade Podcast is available on Audio Boom, iTunes, SoundCloud. Follow, rate, subscribe, like, you know, all that. So please, without further ado, Yuri from Them Damn Comic Book Guys. Catch you all later.
Good morning, Indubians and future friends. I am T. Sterling Watson from the Indube Podcast, and I invite you to stop by and press play. The Indube Podcast is a little bit of everything, just like myself. Topics include entertainment, nerd culture, pop culture, intellectual chats, spirituality, music, or magic if I misread my own handwriting. And you can find me on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podbean, Spreaker, YouTube, Google Play, and of course, Indube.com. The podcast and this ad is a 3SFX production.
Hey guys, this is Steph I Will. I am joined today by Alicia Yuri Jackson from Those Damn Comic Book Guys. She's here today to talk about the Flight of the Phoenix Diversity Comics and Sci-Fi Convention that she has put together. as soon as I heard about this, I was like, I need to have her on because I want to know more about this because it just sounds really dope. So how are you doing today, Yuri?
I am doing good. Thanks for having me. I'm really honored to be a part of this.
Oh, no, no. Thank you for saying yes. I need to get better about sliding folks' DMs, so thank you.
Goes down in the DM sometimes.
It does. So I know you've talked about this before, but I just want to know, and I told you earlier that all of Oprah-like questions were flushed down the toilet thanks to Commander Antif. So I am kind of winging it. But first and foremost, you know, what was the inspiration behind Flight of the Phoenix Diversity Comics and Sci-Fi Convention?
Well, I am part of a active organization for a city just north of Austin. It's called Pflugerville, and we're called Black Pflugerville, and I'm the secretary. And for that organization, I do cartoons and serial, where I teach the kids between ages 8 to 14 about the minority comic book heroes, so that they don't always have to be, you know, dressed up as a in white face, basically, to feel like they can save the world. So that's where the inspiration came from, because I saw that there was a void, because a lot of them did not know any minority heroes outside of Black Panther. And I was like, that's not cool. That's not cool at all. So, East Austin has a very, very, very long history of being segregated from West Austin. West is, of course, the white side. East is the minority side. They have a long history of redlining and then the subsequent gentrification that's happened in the past 10 years, and they keep pushing people out of their homes. So that's another thing that Black Pflugerville does, is when people get pushed out of their homes in East Austin, they move up north to Pflugerville. So we also help them protect what's theirs, because, you know, when you, in the days of redlining, when you couldn't own your home, you always had to rent. And now that you have first generation homeowners, they don't know what they're doing, basically. And so we help them protect their property. And in doing so, we help build a sense of community. This came about because I saw that there was a void in East Austin of the kids not having a sense of, I don't want to say pride, but a sense of, hey, I can be whatever I want to be.
Oh, wow. So this is one some deep, well, not even deep, but, you know, that's real.
Yeah.
Just the whole gentrification aspect of it. And unfortunately, we're all kind of familiar with that in some way, shape, or form, because it, you know, kind of affects us all. No, that's real.
Yeah, it's actually, it's an entire festival, I guess you can say, that's running parallel to South by Southwest.
Okay.
There's an organization here that's called Texas Black Pages, and they're just a website that lists all of the Black-owned businesses in Texas, and they're located in Killeen, which is about an hour and a half, 2 hours north of Austin. And their CEO noticed that all of the money that South by Southwest gets, and, you know, South by gets millions of dollars.
Right.
And it all either stays in downtown Austin or it leaves the state, and nothing gets dispersed into the community. So he was like, we're going to change that. And so that's what my con is a part of. It's called Austin's Choice, ATXC, hashtag. And we're just giving people a choice to go to South By, as well as go to community-based events, so that we can, you know, get a little equity to the people that actually need it.
Which is something that actually would be great if other cities would adopt that as well, because it's crazy that they have these events in cities where they've already pushed out Black folks who have made these parts of the city habitable, and then all of a sudden it's just, you know, the funds never go to the parts where it needs to go. So no, that's amazing.
They actually are having one in Houston, this car Houston's Choice for the Super Bowl. So all that Super Bowl money that is going to be coming flocking into Houston, they have events lined up as well. So they're definitely thinking ahead. Like the CEO of his name is Ronnie Russell. He's definitely thinking of ways to make this sustainable, so that these communities can actually get paid for what they, like you said, they did revitalize the areas that then got gentrified. We're working on it.
Well, something is better than nothing. So, I mean, you guys are doing a fantastic job. Now I need to find my way to Austin.
Yeah, Austin is dope. Like, Austin is weird and it's amazing. But I've gone to three South by Southwest before I actually moved to Texas. Mm-hmm. And I can definitely tell you that when you just come for the festival, it's great. And you see downtown and you go, you venture out to where Freedom Fort is. And maybe you go a couple of blocks into what we deem as actual Austin, but you don't really get to see it. And this is a way for you to actually see what makes Austin weird and not just stay in the little bubble that South by Southwest keeps you like locked into downtown.
Yeah, well, it's never fun to visit a city and just stay in that quote unquote bubble where white people just roam. So yeah, no more.
And they do their own thing.
So actually I want to ask you a little bit more about the class that you teach. So what's the structure like?
It's basically they come and we start with arts and crafts, where I get them to tap into what they like to do. Just I meet them where they're at. I think that's super important when you're trying to teach tolerance and pride and curiosity in other people. Mm-hmm. You have to meet them where they're already comfortable. So I encourage them to create a superhero persona based off of their own habits and hobbies. And during that time, the cartoons are playing and we're talking and they're schooling me. Like the last time I got schooled on, I think the newest Power Rangers, because I haven't watched Power Rangers in I don't know how long. And they were just telling me all about it. And they're like, "Miss Alicia, you don't know this?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, no." But so we have fun, and after we clean up the arts and crafts, like the last episode, we made our masks, and they had to come up with names. And for some reason, everybody wanted lightning eyes. I guess that's a thing now. And so then after we clean up the class, we bring out all the cereal. And I've learned not to get the big boxes of cereal because that just goes to waste. So I get like little mini boxes and just let them have at it and watch cartoons. And we do that until everybody's done eating. And then I'll introduce a new hero that they might not have known about. Like last episode, I introduced Riri. And they were really, really into it. That's the structure. The first one, I did Blue Beetle, Jaime Reyes, and they really enjoyed him as well, him being from El Paso. He was like, "He's from Texas." I was like, "I know." And so he was excited about it. And the next one is going to be the 11th, and I'm going to do Kamala Khan, which is very fitting. I didn't plan on it falling so perfectly with what's going on in the world, and I'm glad it does. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that it does, but that's actually really nice. And I'm a stan for Ms. Marvel, so G. Willow Wilson just does a really great job with that series.
I'm a great panel.
Yes. All right. So my next question, from what I remember as I'm looking and flashing back to finding my stuff in the toilet, I wanted to ask you, how did you get into podcasting and how did those damn comic book guys come together?
Well, Confucius and Fresh, shout out to them. They had the the podcast before I joined it, which is why it's still called Those Damn
Guys. Of course.
And I have been rallying for them to change the name, and they're like, Alicia, no. But they did add In Gals to the Facebook group, so they appeased me in that sense. But actually, they both had their own separate podcast, and I went on Fresh's podcast to talk about cartoons and cereal, and they're like, hey, do you want to come on, you know, the comic book podcast? I was like, well, of course. And then so that's talked about. I think that was, I've only been in Austin for a year now, so that was maybe 6 months ago, 6, 7 months
okay
ago. That's how I can. And I honestly, I think I started following them on Twitter when I got for hip hop, because I was a hip hop blogger for, you know, the longest, and so was Fresh did hip hop as well, and I think that's how I connected with him, and then it moved into the social activism and moved into the comic book. There's a lot of intersectionality going on.
Definitely. I did not know that. I didn't know you were you wrote about hip hop. So I gotta ask you then, what's your feeling on Migos? I've been listening to their latest, unfortunately, for the past 3 days.
I have not. I've been trying not to get on the Migos bag. Like, I have been fighting it. I found myself on the Rachel McGrotter bandwagon this past South by Southwest, so I can't hop on the Migos bandwagon.
Just go ahead, just get on. The funny thing is, I remember my brother introducing me to them. I think it was 4 years ago. We were on our way to Chicago, God. And he had it playing. I was like, who the hell? Like, why are they yelling the whole entire time? And then I think on our ride back from Chicago back to Charlotte, I was like, you know what? I'm here for the Migos.
So, I think I'm a hashtag accidental fan of Young Thug as well, because I was fighting that too. But my timeline does not let me be me. They will not let me be great and not be a Young Thug fan.
So. I will not judge you at all. Definitely a couple of Young Thug songs that, unfortunately, as problematic as they are, I'm just like, but this beat is so good. Oh man. All right, so I have to ask you then, since you did teach your students about Riri Williams, how have you been feeling about the series so far, or have you read it or skimmed through it?
I read the first issue, and I thought it was phenomenal. Like, my first episode with Kyla Mae Reyes, I made a slideshow of, you know, what I wanted to teach the kids. But with Riri, I just pulled up the issue up on Comic Logic and just went through panel by panel. And so when it got to her said dad and best friend getting shot in Chicago, I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know if, like, this is okay, like, how they're gonna react. I don't want to, like, scar them, but I think that they should understand, you know, that this is real life, but you can still grow from, you know, tragedies like this. So I think that the storyline, like, starting off like that was amazing. They did not shy away from it at all.
Yeah, and see, for hearing you say that, and that was their reaction, this is why I've been trying to go back and revisit that first issue, because I feel like I entered it with some Bendis bias. And that's been really hurting me as far as, like, you know, really giving the character a chance. So I'm glad I asked you that, because hearing that and how those the kids reacted to that, I mean, you know, this is why we need these new characters, even though it's I guess some people call it a reskinning or a rewell, whatever, because, you know, Iron Man already exists, but you need them though, because they look like those that are reading it, and it's getting younger kids, you know, interested in comics. they've got way more, it feels like more people of color as far as characters are concerned than we did. So I'm trying.
Yeah, it was it was awesome because Black Pflugerville, we just did a Young Gifted in Black seminar because our co-founder, her son was listed gifted in his class, and he was one of 23 Black kids in a well, I should say Black and Brown in a program of like 200 kids, and she was like, no, I'm like, this is not cool. So seeing how the first episode of, or the first issue of Ruby's comic started with her being listed as gifted, like, I was like, yeah, like, our kids need to say, hey, we're not problematic. Maybe we're just too smart for this class.
Right.
I made an emphasis, or made a point to emphasize that to the kids, like, hey, if you feel like you're about to get in trouble because you're bored, it's probably because you need to be in a higher.
I relate to that all too well. Until somebody finally smartened up and put me in honors track, and then I was just like, damn, I probably should have just
right. Man, these AP classes ain't no joke.
Right, should have just chilled the hell out.
Hated AP English.
All right. Well, I'm meant to be trying to be good, so I don't have anything to be messy about. I do actually want to ask you, have you been reading Moon Girl and Double Dinosaur?
I have not.
All right, because I was going to ask you if you had seen or heard about, I think it was last week when this happened, there is a panel in the latest issue of it, 15.
Oh, where... my God, with her hair.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So, okay, so we can talk about this just for a moment.
I was so angry because I remember, like, sitting between my mom's legs and she hitting my fingers with the comb because I was, like, you're pulling my hair. She was like, stop it. You just sit there and you take it, and she's giving you the facts of life, or she's telling me about, you know, what your dad did or what your brother did. It's a bonding experience. And for them to take it to respectability politics, I wanted to throw my laptop.
Right. Because it's just like, you know, you're so exactly right about that. And that's what pissed me off too. And I'm just like, you all just took a moment that so many of us relate to and trashed it. Because I'm like, yeah. I don't ever remember mom saying anything like that to me while she was doing my hair.
Never. It wouldn't even cross her mind to be like, I'm doing your hair so you can be respectful to the world. No, she's like, I'm doing your hair because I love you and I know you can look fly.
Right. Exactly. And then the thing was just like, you know, it's not like we didn't just have Gabby Douglas in the Olympics and her hair, and that's the writers, I think they responded, I can't remember who, but they responded to someone's tweet, and of course they threw the one artist of color that is on the book under the bus, like, well, she's seen this too, but she's not the writer though. So how did you all let this go ahead and go to print? And the messed up thing about it is that Marvel, this is not their first time doing this.
And I guess maybe, and I don't want to say their culture, but they don't have the experience. They don't understand what the act of having your mom do your hair, like, they don't understand the significance. But it's 2017. You can go to Twitter and be like, hey, it's okay.
Good. Google is free.
Is it? Because I don't know anymore.
No, maybe there's a subscription that we don't know.
You know, we get like 5 searches a month now, I think, because people are not taking advantage.
Oh no, not 5 searches a month. I mean, it might be less than that.
Really? You have met your quota. You're gonna have to figure this out for yourself, bro.
Oh no. Okay, composing myself. All right.
I'm back.
So the next bit of thing, next thing I want to ask you, because I haven't had a chance to ask anybody this yet, and I don't even care. I don't even know you care about DC and what they have going on, but the casting of Black Manta for Aquaman. Have you seen that news?
I have not, because DC is like. I saw that Ben Affleck was like, nah, and I'm like, all right, well, sorry, DC.
What they need to do is stop announcing things and just wait until the movie actually comes out to say anything. Yeah. Like a whole solid 24 hours before they release the movie. That way, nothing can change.
Exactly. And having Nicole Kidman playing Aquaman's mom.
What?
Yeah.
They didn't have no Polynesian actors or actresses.
Apparently not. None that were actual humans. You gotta draw them, because I don't know.
Right, because she is Tilda Swinton white, so.
I mean, but Tilda was Asian, so.
Right.
And you got ScarJo, so. Anything can happen.
All right, and also Emma Stone being half Asian and Aloha. So I forgot. You just remind me how Hollywood works, so never mind.
Yeah, we forgot. We thought we were progressive. It's a slow progress. It's a slow progress.
And which doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's crazy. It's a slow for progress and things that make sense, but anything that is repressive just happens it's expedited.
Right.
It's one day shipping.
One day shipping. They overnighted to us.
Right.
Not overnight oppression. Like, here you go.
Right. It's on ice, so it's fresh and all of that.
Right. But they won't learn when African American Panther goes,
I can't believe this. See, I was trying to go without talking about Trump, but just the one little thing on that, I read that and I was like, he's not really, no, he is going to do that. Never in my life that I think I would want that painting from Tales from the Hood to be real, so that somebody could ship that shit directly to the White House and just drop it off there and hang it in the Oval Office.
No one talking about,
yeah. With the little dolls and the little old Black woman sitting in that rocking chair. Yes.
So funny story about that. My mom actually collects the little figurines. And yes, I would not for the longest. I would side eye them. I would go up and down the steps. I was like, Mom, are you sure? Are you sure they're not gonna come alive? She thought it was hilarious. I was like, nah. I saw this. They come after you.
You know, I did not sleep for two or three nights to watching that. It was Thanksgiving. We had watched, so it was a huge family Thanksgiving, and all the cousins were watching movies. So the older kids let us watch Hocus Pocus and then Return Tales from the Hood. So I was cool up until we got to that, and I've always had a fear of, I don't know, dolls for whatever reason, probably because of Chucky. But after that, I think we got home, and at first I left out of my room. I was like, I'll just go sleep in my brother's room. He had a bunk bed. Then I still couldn't sleep because I could see his little action figurines or whatever in the corner. And I was like, Batman's going to slip my throat. So let me go to my parents' room. And then I think I knocked at the door and they were like, no, because we told you not to watch that movie. So I legit slept at the door for three nights in the hallway.
Yeah, no. We got, after Chucky hit, we got rid of everything. I was like, nope, kid sister, my buddy, you all are going.
I don't blame you, because I did the same exact thing. I was like, I'm not, nope, no thank you.
I don't have any memories. Tied to this doll, so you can go to the Goodwill. I don't need those problems. I don't.
Oh, the trauma. The trauma.
And we still remember it. I haven't seen Mufasa dying.
Yeah, no, I haven't forgotten about that. And somebody the other day, I seen a tweet that said that Frozen was better than The Lion King. And I was like, huh. Yeah, so they definitely got dragged. And I was like, rightfully so. Because I was like, what you talking about?
Like, that's what you get.
Right. All right. Well, Yuri, I don't want to keep you long.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't hate it, but I'm glad that we finally got a chance to do this. But I was going to say, I hate that we had to postpone because of New Edition, but who knew BET was going to actually come through with some heat?
Right. And Ronnie, I forgot I had a crush on Ronnie for like 10 years, and it just reignited it. I knew I was going to marry Ronnie.
That Ronnie was fine. Actually, they all were.
Oh my gosh.
I think I've watched, I think part one or part two over the weekend again, because I was like, this is so good. Or maybe they're just really nice to look at. I don't know. But either way, y'all did the thing.
Did it.
And BET got a stipend or something, because they got like a lot of shows.
I'm waiting for that En Vogue biopic. I'm trying to speak it into existence, I don't want to get your hopes up. I'm sorry.
Oh, because I was about to say.
Yeah, you lost me back to existence.
I was about to hop on the computer. Like, wait, when is this coming out? All right, ma'am.
One thing I did want to say about the con, yes. It is going to be at Preston Tillerson, which is the HBCU in Austin, because I don't think people know that Austin has an HBCU downtown.
I did not know that.
Yes. Yeah, there's a whole other community, like college in Austin that nobody knows about. So it's going to be there, and I'm super excited to be working with them because it's a great university. It's a great, place to go to school. So we're just trying to get them out there, even though they were here first. They were here before UT, and they were here before Texas State. Nobody actually knows about them.
So. Wow! See, Hidden Figure.
Yeah, and it's a great, great, great school.
Yeah, no, I honestly didn't even know that, and I was reading. I was reading the press release, and I was like, hey, I've never heard of. And then I googled, and I was like, wow. It's amazing how some of these schools get swept under the rug and you don't know anything about them until you're living there.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, and actually, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you all of the details and everything. So, so when is the con taking place?
Oh, I guess that's important. It's March 18th. It's the Saturday of South by Southwest Music. Okay. Austin's Choice does have things going on every day that South by Southwest is going on during interactive film and music. So what they have, we have something as well. And we want to make it clear that we're not trying to compete with South by, because I love South by Southwest. Like I said, that I'm super into hip hop, and I'm actually helping somebody put on a showcase downtown. So we're definitely not trying to be divisive, but since you're here and I know how expensive housing can be, we just want you to get as much for your money as possible.
I mean, who can be mad at that?
We're not going to make you take two trips.
Right. Hey, dude, get it all done. Support a really, really great cause. And yeah. In fact, now I need to see if Southwest has tickets too, also, for love, so that I can try to make it out there. Because, and if not, definitely next year. I figured I was going to try to up my traveling this year and next year. So now I have a reason, or more of a reason, to visit Austin.
It's a great city, and it has the best food trucks ever. Is that like to eat?
Well, I'm sold. You had me there. All right, and Yuri, where can the folks find you on the interwebs?
On the internet, I am Ann Amazing Feet on Twitter. I think I have an Instagram, but I forgot my password. And those damn comic book guys and gals on Facebook, but on Twitter it's TD comic book guys. Yeah.
I'm gonna need them to change that.
They're not. I have been barking up that tree and Confucius is like, no.
And I'm gonna send a couple of mean black women gifts this way.
You should. No, they're awesome guys. They actually got their own radio show.
Word.
Yeah, they're the hip hoppers for KUTX, the UT Austin radio station. So they're doing well. I'm proud of them. Excited for them.
Yeah, that's nice. And I have another reason to use my TuneIn app. So, okay, cool.
So, all right. A lot of things happening.
Well, that is what I love to hear, especially on this very black month.
Yes.
Because I don't know what Donald Trump is talking about.
This is black history.
Yes. All right, man. Well, I want to thank you so much for visiting me. I so appreciate it. Shout out to BET for being so damn good that we had to postpone this. Because I'm just really, really still floored by that. But, I mean, maybe that's a sign that things aren't all lost in the world. So,
right.
Yeah.
There are, little silver linings in bright spots.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's it for the Lemonade Show. I will catch you all next week.